Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. I wanted to ask you a question. Why should a person read the Old Testament?
Really? You want to ask me that? Okay, here's my answer. Because it's the Bible.
Right. It's a great answer.
Let's not complicate it. It's the Bible. Read it.
Right. Right. So the reason I ask is because I was told by my parents that Walter said that we should stay out of the Old Testament.
Why? Do you know why?
Not for sure. And I've asked. I mean, this was very well known at Followers, but I have talked to a few friends who have said that wasn't really. It was okay for me to read the Old Testament at my house, so it wasn't like a
direct
hard
prohibition. Yeah, it wasn't like don't ever do that.
Right.
But I mean, I think there are people who say that the God of the Old Testament's different than the God of the New Testament, so don't read about that, or he's vengeful in the Old Testament and grace, in the New Testament. There are things like that where people would say, you don't need the Old Testament, but kind of do.
You saying that just makes me think of another part of this, a problem that it can lead to, because some friends of mine who are still at Followers have kind of gotten the idea from that now not only do they not need to read the Old Testament, but really they only need to read what Paul wrote. And so I think and we can talk about that more later, but it's when you start dividing up, if your beliefs lead you to say that part of the Bible is not relevant to you, I think you probably should rethink your beliefs.
Well, yeah, and some of that comes, so it's interesting you say that, because some of that comes from the idea that, we're sort of new at this. Like, we're the first generation to get a Bible. What are we going to do? Whereas the Bible that you have is a book that has been received from previous generations who have read it, compiled it, and it didn't come from nowhere. In other words, the fact that there is an Old Testament and a New Testament is really a statement that the church has historically found value in the books of the Old Testament, books of the New Testament, and that's why it's all in one book, really.
Yeah, it's great. When I was a kid, the Bible that I was given was New Testament and Psalms.
That was just a little thing? Was it a Gideon's Bible? I got one that was like that with just New Testament songs, but it was, partly it's the size of my phone, and that's kind of why.
Right.
I really had that.
No, it was a little bigger than that, like the size of a normal paperback book, probably. But, I still have it, I think, but it's just interesting to me. I was given that. I was probably 8 or 10 or something like that, and given that, and I was told, don't, go ahead, just start in Matthew, but don't worry about the first chapter because it's just a list of names. So, and which really makes sense when you think about if you're not going to read the Old Testament, then what is the genealogy of Jesus?
The list of names is just a list of names.
It's just a list of names.
But it's there to kind of link you back to the part of the book you didn't have
in
that version, right?
Yeah. So, I think the first thing, you said it's the Bible. I think it's the way that God has chosen to reveal himself to
us. Certainly is,
So I think that is a good reason to read it. If God's chosen to reveal himself, then I want to know what he wants to say to me about himself.
Okay.
So, and then 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So it just as I'm thinking about, even if you believe that you should only read the words of Paul, these are the words of Paul that say all scripture is.
Well, the other thing that I think is important when you say all scripture is breathed out by God is to recognize all they had when they said all scripture breathed out by God is the Old Testament scripture.
Exactly.
It wasn't like, hey, all these newfangled books are breathed out by God. It's no. It's the books that you have in what we know now as the Old Testament. Those are the ones that he says are breathed out by God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I think too that it's helpful, and we talked about it, I don't remember if it was last week or recently, we talked about the gospel being kind of four parts and creation and the fall and restoration.
The story that God's telling in the world,
Yeah, and you don't get that whole story if you don't read about creation and the fall. You know, that's all in the first book of the Old Testament, so.
So maybe you don't read the whole Old Testament, you just read the first three pages or something? No. Is that what you're recommending?
No, but I will, I mean, I'm doing a read through in a year of the Bible, and I
did you start in Genesis?
I did.
Okay.
I started in Genesis, and I just finished today. Actually, just finished 2 Kings.
So, whoa!
So it's been. I started before the first of the year, but
I was going to say I just started. What did I start? 1 Samuel.
Oh,
so you're like a couple months ahead of me, it seems like.
Yeah.
Oh, we started in January.
We started in December, but there are some hard things to read in the Old Testament. I mean, there just are.
You're really convincing people they need to read it now, Mark.
but I'm saying there are, so read it and see what happens. Like we just went through all of the kings, and it's just almost depressing after here's this king's name, and he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and just over and over and over. And finally today we got to one that started to clean out the temple, you know, get rid of the idols that where people were worshiping other gods. So it was worth it to
so even in fact you say that hard things. One of the reasons that you read it is because it deals with real life.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not trying to do some religion in a vacuum where it doesn't interface with real problems that real people have, where you have to make real hard choices or something like that. I mean, where I think if you just pick up the New Testament and you're a little more inclined to think that, well, it's more religious, or it's more vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have all the difficult edges that you have in the Old Testament, where God does deal with his people in very difficult situations. And you know what? When I get into a difficult situation myself, that's what I need. And I actually go to the Old Testament, read the Psalms in particular, just because they deal with difficult situations. So, rather than sort of, you know, whitewash it or paint it, you know, as sort of plain vanilla. Not to say the New Testament is vanilla, but really without the flavor of the Old Testament, it kind of is vanilla,
Yeah, and then I think another thing too is for me at least, when I read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and read about the law and all these things, the need for a savior just jumps off the page to me. Like the detail in the law and the meticulous nature of it, there's no way that I could live up to that law. And I just think if that's what righteousness is, if that's what is being described there, there's no way I could live up to that law. And so I think it's really helpful for me to understand, maybe that's the fall part of it, that how far apart I am from this holy God. Like it shows that huge gap that I can't fill, that only Jesus could fill. And so I think it makes me love Jesus more when I read the Old Testament.
Well, good. And it does give you a lot of insight into the way things go badly, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just finished Judges, and it was, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And when that happens, it doesn't look very pretty.
Right.
So, yeah, there are a lot of good reasons to read it, but it does, you know, it does show you a need for a Savior. And they did. Time after time after time, say there's going to be a king, or there's going to be a prophet like Moses.
Yeah,
and then there's going to be a king, and then there's going to be a priest.
Yeah,
that's going to come, and all of these things give you these hints that it's coming, but not yet. And then when Jesus comes as the prophet and the priest and the king, you realize, ding, 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 here that the whole thing's been fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And, you might say, oh, well, I know that, but I didn't have to read the Old Testament to figure that out.
Right.
Well, that's great. But the sense with which it's meaningful to you is much, much deeper when you recognize the need for it and the development of it throughout the Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And something just as you were saying that I thought of too was seeing the people that I thought were the good guys, and that God's people thought were the good guys all along. They all fell short of that law of righteousness, except for Jesus. And it just helps me to understand too that there's nobody that's going to achieve this righteousness on their own. There's nobody that's going to be able to do it on their reputation or anything like that.
Well, it is interesting because and maybe this is what you're saying, but I just want to make sure that I understand, is that, you know, if you, you know, hear about the Old Testament heroes and think, be like Moses or be like David or be like, Samson or something, whatever's going to, you want to say at the time, you end up aiming short of the goal.
Right.
When you do that.
Right.
And you can't get there by imitating them.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly. It's interesting to me too, the amount of times we talked about Paul saying that all scripture is God breathed and that he's talking about the Old Testament, but he's not the only, the Old Testament is referred to, my research said 283 times by the New Testament writers. It's what they had to refer to. They didn't have the New Testament. So I just think that it's hard to understand what the New Testament writers are writing when they're referring to the Old Testament if you don't read the Old Testament.
Well, they were making a case that if you don't have the evidence that they were using in their case, namely the Old Testament, you're not going to understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and at least miss the clarity of those 283 references or whatever it is.
Right, right. So, yeah, the early church, they certainly were dependent upon the Old Testament. Jesus talked about the Old Testament all the time. I mean, I'm trying to remember, he read from the scroll of Isaiah when he says, these things have been fulfilled in your hearing, as he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, which is from the Old Testament.
In his first public address.
In his first public address. So you need to know what that says to get the gravity of what he's saying there. And yeah, I mean, you can get some of it, I think, from context, but it's really helpful to go read Isaiah and see the statement he's making there. What else is a good reason to read the Old Testament? If that's not enough, what else is a good reason?
Well, it tells you about the character of God. See, and I think, you know, you hinted at this, like how far we are from God's holiness, and that's one of the things you get out of Leviticus, but you get a lot about God's mercy and his compassion and his holiness and his creativity and the fact that he keeps his promises over and over and over, and he keeps steadfast love to his people, or just sort of covenant love. So he's, you know, God, the person of God is developed, you know, and exposed and revealed through the Old Testament, so that when you get to the New Testament and you realize, aha, Jesus is the, the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his being, then all of a sudden that matters to you, because you've got this whole backlog of who God is, the, you know, being self-existent, being, you know, he doesn't need us or need anything that we would do for him, or all those things that you find in the Old Testament ultimately point to Jesus, when Jesus is the representation then of the nature and character of God.
Yeah, yeah. One of those characteristics too is that he is gracious. And you mentioned earlier that some people think that he's vengeful in the Old Testament and gracious in the New. But man, when you just read the Old Testament and just see failure after failure from God's people all the way through, yet he remains faithful. You know, there is judgment, there is consequences, but he continues his plan for salvation, and you can just see grace all the way through it to me.
Throughout, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. I mean, over and over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, Jesus chose to use the Old Testament in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, the risen Jesus comes and meets a couple of his disciples on the road to Emmaus and talks to them, and they don't recognize him. And then verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So when he says, starting with Moses, what do you take that to mean?
Well, he's using what we call the Old Testament to talk about himself. Now, the interesting thing is, you think about this. I mean, he had just risen from the dead. He still has physical marks from the nails and the spear, and they don't recognize him, and he's got to convince them about who he is.
Yeah.
Right? And so what's he going to do? I mean, he he's really good at parlor tricks. I mean, he can make bread keep going for thousands and thousands of people. He can walk on water. I mean, he's good at all these things. What's he going to do to tell people who he is?
Yeah.
What his go-to was, his plan A was, let's just open the Bible that they had, which we call the Old Testament, and let's read. And I'll tell you what, it talks about me. He's telling them, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really interesting that he could do anything he wanted to convince them, and he chooses the most convincing thing to express that the Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ is to read the Old Testament.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus saw it. So, if there's anything that should make you want to read the Old Testament, it's that.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was super impactful for me, this verse. I got to be part of a class with your parents the Stranger on the Road to Emmaus class. Right. And it was impactful for a lot of people to see, like, it just took the promises of the Old Testament and all the different part and showed how Jesus fulfills those. And it was such a great class. I would recommend that to anybody. There's a book and that you can read and look through. And something you said earlier about the Old Testament that's been really impactful for me is what you said when you go through hard times that you go to the Old Testament. And I honestly, coming out of Followers, as difficult as things were, I still felt like I had to have a brave face. I had to act like everything was fine and that I couldn't complain about my circumstances. I felt like that was not okay to do. Mm-hmm. And then I read how David prayed in the Psalms, and I read something, you know, you can. I mean, mm-hmm. God knows what you're feeling anyway, so right. He can take it. You know, you can voice those things. But I wouldn't have been able to had I not read the Old Testament.
Well, it's, I think, more than you can voice those things. It's here's language by which you can voice those things. So the language of the Old Testament is helpful to you when you don't have good language of your own, even. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like even one step more than what you just described.
Yeah, no, it is. And David does almost every time bring it around to praising God. And trusting him. But he can start out by saying, Lord, how long does it have to be this way? How long are you going to let this go? Really, things that I never would have felt like I could do unless I read them in the Bible. And so I think it can be helpful for us to be honest with how we feel too. It's exhausting. I've used that word a lot on here, but it's exhausting when you feel like you've got to look like you have it together all the time, and you've got to put on a brave face, and that's how you get through. Is acting tough means you have faith, and it's just nothing like that. But so reading the Old Testament has helped me get through that, especially the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting. Acting tough. That's an interesting way to describe that. That's more philosophical than it is biblical.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it's from like Stoic philosophy where you present and then, you know, hopefully then your inner life conforms to your external presentation. But I say that because, again, in an attempt to not be historical by reading the Old Testament, you end up being historical because, you know, human nature is what it is. And I think it's just how much better, rather than to try and have this philosophy of toughness, to really just get the Old Testament into you so that you have this, because there's not, you know, when you have to be tough, and I don't know why I want to riff on this for a minute, but just because I think about it all the time, I'm going to have surgery here before long, so I'm thinking about trying to be tough. But it's just a matter of, you know, you get this narrow band of appropriate emotions, feelings, and all those things, and language to go with them. Whereas, you know, if you're reading the Old Testament, I mean, this is kind of what we said before, you get a much broader range of not only options, not only how God interacts with people through, not just when they're in, you know, acting tough, but all throughout their whole human experience. And then you get appropriate language for expressing that. So, I mean, it's just a much richer experience when you have the Old Testament to draw from. So,
yeah.
Anyway, sorry about riffing on that, but I've tried to be tough a lot, and it's not very good at it, I guess.
Well, I don't envy you having shoulder surgery coming up here, but I did just go to the doctor for the second time in my life.
Okay.
And it didn't even occur to me until I left the doctor's office there that I didn't give a lack of faith a thought. Like for the first time in my life with this connection, I didn't even think about it until we left, because that was always just a...
And the decision to go, You'd have to say, "Am I? Do I not have faith? Is that why I'm going?"
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I just, I'm thankful for that. That I did not.
Oh, good.
I did not have that weight on me anymore. But
so you're not tough either, then? So.
No, I didn't have to be. Yeah. Okay. It's, but no, I mean, probably the biggest point that I would want to make about this is that the Bible itself, whether it's the New Testament writers, whether it's Jesus, they say that you should read the Old Testament. So if your parents told you you shouldn't, or told you that Walter told that you shouldn't, that doesn't matter to me. That the Bible tells you that you should. So I just want people to think about that. Like, mm-hmm. do you want to do what the writers of the Bible says? Do you want to do what God's word says, or do you want to put the authority somewhere else? And that's really the...
When you put it that way.
Yeah. Is that too hard to say? I mean...
I don't think so. I mean, and I think, you know, if... I'll just... So you have Mark's really spiritual, good, straight-up opinion. Mine is just the New Testament makes so much more sense if you have the Old Testament. So yeah. If you're going to limit yourself to you're just going to miss what's there. And I think I just would encourage you to read the whole thing, because it's going to fit together and make more sense in the whole story that we talked about last time of what God is doing in the world, and what God is offering you when he offers you salvation is just so much richer and deeper when you have Old Testament backing you up on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's great.
That's my less spiritual, more, you know.
More practical.
More practical reason, okay. Maybe.
Well, yeah. Well, one of the songs that we would sing, and we've used this example before when we talked about reading your Bible, but I just think it's a great reminder. We would sing the song "Wonderful Words of Life," and this is talking about the words of the Bible, and it's talking about the whole Bible. "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life." And I just think it's worth stopping and saying, "Let me more of their beauty see." I think part of the fear of reading the Old Testament is that if you were told you should stay out of it, then you think, "Well, I won't understand it. It must be because I can't understand it that I'm being told to stay out of it." Was kind of what my thought was anyway. I don't know if that was the reason, but prayer is important with this too. I mean, pray for understanding, and don't get discouraged when you read, because like I said, there are some hard things in there, hard to understand. Mm-hmm. Why is it this way? But I would just say prayer is probably an important thing too with that. "Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven." And that kind of talks about what you'll understand that so much deeper if you mm-hmm. read
right.
That backstory of the Old Testament. So I think that's all I have on it. But I just think it is important, no matter what advice you'd gotten before. I want to make the case for people to read the Old Testament.
Do they have to read it like in a year? Do they have to read it like that? Just
no, I don't think so. I mean, honestly, there are still parts of it that I don't know if I've read the whole Old Testament. I think there are a couple of the minor prophets that I've not read yet. So that's part of my goal of reading through in a year this time, was to get some of those that I might have missed. But most of my Old Testament reading has been looking back at references from the New Testament. Oh. And then you want to get context on that, and you, mm-hmm. it, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, I, if, if you're asking for a recommendation, I would definitely say start with Genesis. And, but yeah, other than that, just read it and maybe use those. Jesus refers to Isaiah a lot. That would be a great one to read.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. What do you think? Do you think they should?
Well, I mean, there are parts, let's just say it this way, that are harder to jump into. You mean your Chronicles books are going to be a slow start.
Yeah.
Leviticus is a slow start. I mean, I just read Ruth. Ruth is four chapters, and you can read it in one sitting, and it's a story, you know, it sounds like a love story, though it's not really. It's really about somebody sacrificing himself for the sake of someone else, and, you know, calls him a redeemer, and it kind of shows what it's like to sacrifice, you know, or gives you really a picture of Jesus who sacrifices himself so that we might be elevated and brought into the family. And that's what happens. Happens to be Ruth happens to be a great, great, great grandmother of Jesus. So anyway, just it's just really fills in the picture of what it means for Jesus to redeem or to save me. And it's only four chapters. So there you go. You can't overdo on that. And, you know, and there's just some other really interesting things about how, you know, one of the mother-in-law, I guess, starts off bitter and, you know, asks people to call her bitter. Call me bitter. Don't even call me by my name. Call me bitter. And then as she is redeemed too, you know, she changes, and it's a kind of a beautiful story.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a
which
good
is
one.
A picture of the whole Bible, really. Jesus redeeming us and taking our bitterness and making it sweet. So
Yeah, that's great. Well, I hope we've convinced people to read the Old Testament. Thanks for helping me do that.
Okay, well, we'll try again if we didn't.
All right. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.